Y'all pray along with me on this. In the Good News Translation, it says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get ready to go south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This road is not used nowadays. So Philip got ready and went. Now an Ethiopian eunuch, who was an important official in charge of the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia, was on his way home. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. He had been to Jerusalem to worship God and was going back into his carriage or his chair. As he rode along, he was reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over to the carriage, to the chariot, and stay close to it. Philip didn't walk over. He ran, and he heard him reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. He asked him, do you understand what you are reading? The official said, the minister said, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? And he invited Philip to climb up and sit in the carriage with him. The passage of scripture which he was reading was this, like a sheep that is taken to be slaughtered. Like a lamb that makes no sound when his wool is cut off. He did not say a word. He was humiliated and justice was denied him. No one will be able to tell about his descendants because his life on earth has come to an end. The official, the minister, the man asked him, tell me, of whom is the prophet saying this? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? Then Philip began to speak. Starting from this passage of scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. And they traveled down the road and they came to a place where there was some water. And the official said, the minister said, the Ethiopian said, here is some water. What is to keep me from being baptized? The official ordered the carriage to stop, and both Philip and the official went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. The official did not see him again, but continued on his way, full of joy. The Ethiopian went back home to Ethiopia. Philip found himself in the Azotus. He went on to Caesarea, and on the way, he preached the good news for every town. I want to just hold your attention for a few moments on the subject, the missionary and the movement. The missionary and the movement. Let's bow and let's pray just now, Father God. It is once again that a few of your children have gathered into this place, God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, we're grateful for this moment and this opportunity to glean from your word that which you have called us to. Now, God, I pray, Lord, that as I stand in the shoes of John to proclaim your word, I pray, God, that the words that fall from my mouth might fall on ground that is fertile, that it may take deep root in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls, and then sprout up to be the beautiful flower that you so desire. God, I cannot stand here under my own power. But God, I need the power of your Spirit to fall fresh, not just on me, God, but on this entire waiting congregation. Speak to us. Be real with us, God. Let your truth fall fresh. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and for his sake always. Let us say amen.
Amen.
The missionary and the movement. On this missionary Sunday, we would do ourselves well to revisit through this particular text what the role of a missionary is. The definition of the missionary is a person that is sent by a church or an organization into an area to carry out evangelistic activities. These activities can vary from providing educational instruction, it can vary from providing hospital work to help and the aid of healing. The church has always been a place where there have been designated individuals sent to enlighten, to encourage, and to empower people to arrive at a place where they can experience the fullness of God's presence and who he is. Yeah. Allow me, if you will, to provide an observation today that organizes our thoughts around the text in this way. Missionaries need to know that there are individuals in our societies that have not yet been converted, but have been to church, and they sit on the outside of church, reading and contemplating the message and the purpose of the church. When we run across individuals such as this, missionaries are sent by God. When we run across individuals such as this, missionaries are sent by God to speak a word to help them understand their purpose in life.
Yeah.
The missionary is a willing vessel. The missionary is a willing vessel. The missionary is a willing vessel utilized by the divine presence to help bring about change to folks confused, disconnected, and disenchanted about the nature of who God is.
Yeah.
All right. You with me? And this may sound strange to some, God help me, and odd to others, but very real in a sense in saying that missionaries are sent to speak life to everyone. However, when I examine this text, it not only helps me understand what missionaries are to do, but it also lets me know that black lives do matter. Oh yeah, I know it sounds strange, but allow me to elaborate on this text. Philip is sent to do the work of the Lord, and on this particular day, Philip was instructed by the Spirit of God to go speak a word to a black man, who is more specifically an Ethiopian, who is a eunuch and is a minister of the Queen of Ethiopia. Now geographically, the region of Ethiopia sits in the northeastern section of the continent of Africa. The physical characteristics of Ethiopians in that day exhibited a people with a dark hue. Translated, Ethiopia means land of the people of burnt faces. Mosby, this was a black man that Philip encountered on the way. Not only was he a black man, but he was a eunuch too. During these times, eunuchs typically held positions of power because they were perceived to be less of a threat to the power structure, and considered to be more loyal, compliant, and trustworthy around their women. So here is a black man who held a position of power and was a eunuch. He was emasculated so that he was deprived of who his strength and vigor really made him to be. Let me allow me to put it this way. He was weakened, debilitated, undermined, and made less than to ensure that he stayed in his place. Authorities had to devise some way of trying to keep him in his place. Do what they wanted him to do. God help me. Let me tell you how I know that black lives do matter. Because God makes it clear in his text. In a society where we have been and seen a history of inequity, an imbalance of justice towards those of African descent in America, one must ask the question, do black lives really matter? Not just today, in a world when there's a movement of black lives matter, but across the span of history, do black lives really matter? Let me be clear, I'm not counterparts. I know who I am and to whom I belong. And I recognize that my future does not rest in the hands of mortal men and women. It's not in the hands of the NAACP. It's not in the hands of Urban League. It's not in the hands of some Greek organization or Masonic lodge, forgive me. But what I have to come to recognize is that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Come on now. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Black lives do matter. And in this place where we find ourselves within the text between Philip and the Ethiopian, we see God working on Philip the evangelist a few verses prior to this, where we see him preaching the good news in Samaria. Samaria, remember, was a region where there were issues of race relations. Remember now who wrote the book of Acts? It was Luke. That's why you see Luke Acts together in the same vein. The book of Luke is considered to be, remember, the universal gospel. Luke helps us to see more clearly those who God loves. Those who are perceived to be on the outside and just beyond the reach of God are now included. They're in the fold. They're in there. Nobody is excluded. Everybody is part of who God has created. Luke helps to correct this erroneous thing and moves us to an understanding that everyone, in spite of race, creed, or color, are within the reaches of a loving and mighty God. Yes. There is no one that is outside the realm of God. There is no one that can be excluded from experiencing God because of prejudice, stereotype, or bigoted attitudes. Right. Everyone is welcome into the house of God. Yes. Now, mind you, this was not Philip the disciple or the apostle. This was Philip the evangelist or the missionary, or in Acts 6, he is referred to as the deacon. This Philip was a chosen deacon to serve the Hellenistic Jews in Acts 6 because they were being overlooked within the community. The Hellenistic Jews were being overlooked in the community. You see, there was no equitable distribution of resources to those who were in need. Philip is first sent to Samaria and then called by an angel of the Lord to go south, down to Jerusalem, into Gaza. Uh-huh. There he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, if black lives didn't matter, y'all quiet on me, then we wouldn't need the specific background about this man. The Bible has shown us that God makes vague and specific references as he chooses. Yes. For example, the men carrying the paralytic up to the side of the house and made a way and let him down in front of Jesus. We're not told where they came from. We're not told who they are. We don't know their names. But Luke gives considerable material to indicate that this one from Ethiopia was a bad brother. But the particulars in the text mean something. The particulars in the text mean something. The Bible tells us a story without telling us the whole story. In order for us to get the whole story, we have to dig a little bit into the background of the text to really understand what is happening. Now the text teaches us that he was a brother with a powerful position. He had a job. He was a brother with a powerful position. He had a job. And not only did he have a job, but he was reading for himself, which indicates that he had an interest in the truth that was being taught in the church. Oh, he didn't have anyone to provide an interpretation for him of the text that he was reading. He was a brother with a job, and he was reading for information to get the truth about what God was really doing in the text. However, he didn't have anybody that was able to help him understand what the text was really saying. So here comes Philip, a deacon sent by the angel of the Lord, and here Philip explains this Old Testament text from a Christological perspective. In other words, he takes the text of Isaiah and he puts Christ at the center of the interpretation so that we can begin to understand who this Christ child is. The one that we are speaking of, the one that the prophet is referring to, is not himself. The one that the prophet is referring to is the one that has come to give life and to give it more abundantly. The one that the prophet is talking about is the one that comes to give an understanding of who we are to be in our daily walk and to understand that we are God's children. Black lives do matter. Are y'all with me? Why does it matter? We see here that the Ethiopian eunuch is returning home after worshiping in Jerusalem. We see him sitting in a chariot reading the scroll of Isaiah. He worshiped at the church and is now reading to obtain further truth. But yet he does not quite grasp what he is reading. He goes to church, and because he is perceived and looked at as one who was not a proselyte. Now a proselyte is a non-Jew that formally converts to Judaism. And because he is a eunuch, he is legally not allowed to convert to Judaism. He's marginalized and unable to get close enough to God while he worshiped at Jerusalem because people saw him as just that, a eunuch, marginalized, set out by society. And he couldn't get close enough to God because of his social position to ask questions for clarity about what this church thing is really all about. Does anyone understand the story? Does anyone see what's really going on here? He needs somebody to help him understand who this Jesus is. Although a eunuch, he was powerful and very present and pristine figure within the eyes of Luke's audience. One source says it this way: here is a person from an exotic land, the edge of the world, Timbuktu, someone whose dark skin made him an object of wonder and admiration amongst Jews and Romans. Jews and Romans had to look at him and say, oh my God, there's a man who is sitting right over here. I don't know who he is, but he looks powerful. He's with the Queen of Candace, and he is an Ethiopian. I recognize him. I see him, but he needs somebody to go to him to explain the message of Christ. Black lives do matter. Yeah. And so we are duly warned not to despise or see him as a deprived person and to see the color of his skin as a divine mistake, but to rather recognize him as an authentic, unique, and wonderful creation of the Maker in heaven. Black lives do matter. Black lives do mean something. I don't care what the rest of the world says. When you look at my skin, you see a God creation. You see what God is doing in my midst. I do matter. They divinely matter. Because just like everyone else's lives matter in the world. When I say black lives matter, I'm not dismissing or discounting what the rest of the world is in the eyesight of God. I am recognizing the historical fact that there have been inequities and injustices done to our people in our land, and we fail to recognize and realize what the real issues are, and we don't want to sit down and talk about it. They divinely matter. Everyone else, lives matter in the world. The black and brown skinned folks are mentioned in the Holy Writ. And if God recognizes that, we need to recognize it too. So despite the cheap rhetoric, the violent demonstrations, and the kumbaya, can't we all just get along attitude while dismissing the important dialogue necessary to delve into the complexities of the problems related to race and related to other social issues in this country? I'm going to continue to look to the good book of the Lord and see a God that holds me close, loves the color of my skin, recognizes me for who I am, and has me for who I am in this community. He's made me, he has molded me, he has shaped me, and I know that I'm man. And today, I ask the question, is there a missionary in the house? Is there a missionary in the house? Is there a missionary willing to be sent by God to speak a word to the movement of the marginalized, to explain what the message of God really means? We come into church all day long, but we do not leave here with the same power that we received when we go back into our communities. I'm not saying that we don't do anything. What I'm saying is that we need to do more. We need to speak to our situations in life. And I'm here to tell you today, this is what God placed on my heart. It's not because Miss Taylor is here. It's not because Mr. Brown is here. I'm serious. I was working on this. Can I share? When you came, this is what I was working on. And it was this divine revelation. Okay, Lord. This is what I'm supposed to speak. Help me to speak it clearly. Help me to make a connection. Help me to help us understand that black lives do matter. When in the world we're trying to figure out whether black lives matter. Yes, I know all lives matter, but black lives do matter. And we have a situation in our community that we need to deal with. We need to sit down at the table, all of us, and get down to the nitty and gritty and recognize that we come to the table as a people of God and not a faction from a community trying to meet our own agendas. And that is the key. Is there a missionary in the house to bring relevance to the church? Is there one who was willing to stop long enough to deal with the real issues of the Ethiopian eunuch, perceived by society as being marginalized, less than, and insignificant? And that is it, missionaries. That is it, Deaconess Chamberlain. You have been divinely sent for a purpose to educate, to encourage, and empower the movement of those who have been marginalized and oppressed by the empire. Miss Taylor, yes, that is our job. That is our responsibility. We don't just come to church just as a feel-good kind of thing, but we come to church understanding that it's more than just a social institution, but it is a transformative institution that seeks those who are marginalized, oppressed, and to help them become who God says that they are in spite of what the rest of society says. And three things you need to do as a missionary. And I'm done. I'm just this much. You need to connect. You need to connect with God, with those who God sends you to. You need to connect with them by listening, loving, learning, and lean on God to understand what the needs of the people are. You cannot go with your own agenda to the table, but you need to go with an open mind, understanding that there is a different perspective other than mine, that I have to place myself in their shoes so I can really begin to help them where they are. You need to connect. And your connection, once you listen, once you love, once you learn, then you got to offer some kind of a lesson. Your lesson to them is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the hope of convincing them to a place where they would desire to be. This Ethiopian sat in the chariot reading the scroll of Isaiah, trying to figure out what this word was saying. He saw Philip really didn't say anything. So I really wonder, who is the protagonist in this story? Right. Is it Philip or is it the young Ethiopian? Right. Who really needs the help? Philip is set to the chariot. Angel told him what to do. Yeah. Spirit of the Lord told him to go. Yeah. Philip just walked over to the chariot. Right. Said to the Ethiopian, do you understand what you're reading? No. How am I supposed to understand if there's no one sent to help me understand what I read? Right. Oh, so Philip begins to flip the script, changes it, says this is more than just the Old Testament. This is the New Testament fulfilled in the form and the man of Jesus Christ. Right. Oh, so let me give you a Christological breakdown of what is really happening. You need to understand that there was a God who came down through 40 and two generations. Came down and understood who we were, gave us life and gave it to us more abundantly. Oh, walked this earth, he healed the sick, he transformed people's lives, he made them, he raised the dead back to life. And then one day on Calvary's cross, they stretched him wide, hung him high, gave him all that he deserved or perceived to be deserved. And when he hung his head, he died, he was placed in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day, he raised up for you and for me, and now he sits on the right of the Father. There is somebody that needs to teach a lesson that there is a God that loves you, holds you, keeps you, understands you, and is willing to meet you at your point of need. So we got to convince them, and then we hope that the conversion happens, that they're converted to an experience and experience life anew. That is the mission. That's the mission of the missionary. That's the mission of the missionary, to speak to a movement where people are wondering whether black lives do matter.
All right.
Now, black lives matter is just the symbolic representation of all of the groups who are marginalized and oppressed in a society. So I need to speak not only to black lives, but I need to speak to everyone. God bless you. God keep you. God watch over you.
Yeah.